verses 46 through 49. That'd be awesome. Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. And let's just pray one more. Lord, we just, again, we ask you, Lord, as we read your word, to bless us, Lord, as we honor you. Lord, honor us, Lord. As we bless you, Lord, you're going to bless us. So, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, put it in our minds and our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. So, this is about that, you know, this is a pretty famous story, parable, teaching. Therefore, in chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Who's got Luke 6, 46 through 49? Who wants to read that? You got it, anybody? John? Amen. So you have Matthew and then Luke, and you know it's pretty much the same story, although in Luke it's talking about how deep you dug the foundation, and in Matthew it's where you built it, right? Built it on the sand or the rock, and in Luke it's about you didn't do a good foundation no matter where you were. I don't think there's any significance in it myself. Some commentators do. I don't. And for this class, we're not going to get into any details like that. But one thing is for sure, unless you have a good foundation one way or another, you're absolutely in danger of not surviving the storm. That's a fact. You know, this has been taught a few different ways. And I've heard them a couple different ways. One of them is, and it may depend on your theology. It may depend on your theology or your soteriology, the study of salvation. That when you receive Christ as your Savior, He's the rock, right? And you depend on Him for everything. You're strengthened on the rock. But when you receive the Lord and your foundation is on the sand, it's not much there, really. It's okay when everything's going well. Are these two people saved? Are these people born again? Are they believers in Christ? I would say they are. I would say they both understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how I'm seeing it, anyway. Some would say that not necessarily, but for this class, and we can talk about this, I think it's interesting, that there was a wise man who built his house on a rock, and then there was another man, a foolish man, who built his house on the sand. So one could say that they're both born again, but they're not growing. For instance, Mark 4, remember Mark 4? the parable of the sower, how he threw seeds out, and the seeds were picked up by the birds right away. And then some seeds didn't really take root. And then some seeds took root, but the weeds came over and took them over. And then some fell in really good ground and grew. I think it seems like to me that this is the last part of this teaching, this discipleship, right? This is the last bit before Jesus, according to the Word, starts his ministry again. Remember we left off in chapter 4 of Matthew? I think it's Matthew 17. Now he's going to start, in chapter 8, he's going to begin his ministry again, right? Because he spent some time here teaching his disciples and this great crowd that had gathered. So let me ask you something. There was a wise man and a foolish man. Okay. Do you think that they both knew Jesus? Because some of the commentators I read, some of them are go back and forth a bit. I'm asking you, what do you think about that? You understand the question? There was a wise man and a foolish man. Do you think that they? And I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm just thinking about Mark chapter 4, about the sower. Okay, they looked good, didn't they? They looked like they were growing, but as Jesus defined the parable, remember, it was the world that came in and it choked them out, and the devil himself. Do you think both of these men necessarily knew Jesus? In this no's? I got two no's. Okay. So you think they were both saved? Or they both knew Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay, you got two girls to say that. She doesn't think that the foolish man was saved. What about you? Joe. What about you, Joe? I'm not trying to put anybody in the spot. We're just talking. We're having a good time. Right. That's true. That's right. John? Right. Right. He's got quite a few warnings, hasn't he, through this Sermon on the Mount. Justin, what do you think? Gloria, I forgot your name all of a sudden, sorry.
One thing is knowing about Jesus, another thing is knowing. I think it comes to that choice. They might have known about him, but
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, Bianca?
Oh, me?
That's you.
I was reading the story a little bit about Mark 4, what happened to his dad. I see that the guy got tempted by Satan. And you know how Satan is. He goes in people's head and tells people, like, oh, God, when I'll do this, I want to do that. But about the guy, I don't think he was saved because he was probably following Satan. But at the same time, God wanted him to be saved by him.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Bob, get the last word. Okay. Doesn't really matter. Well, as you read in Luke, you know, there's different in Luke. It's about different depths of the foundation, right? That's what Jesus uses there, right? In Matthew, it's we've all been a part of some kind of building project, probably, realizes, especially the men, maybe girls probably too. But I mean, who doesn't want a really good foundation, right? Everybody wants a good foundation. I mean, you're here at the Bible College because you're seeking to reinforce your foundation with God. That's what you're doing. Come on. That's what we all do. Isn't that what it is? Or you got a good enough foundation now? Well, if you thought you did, you wouldn't be here. And so, you know, the wisdom of it all is we don't know everything. And we need fellowship. We need instruction and teaching. We need the Holy Spirit to keep building us and keeping us solid as we walk, right? This whole Sermon on the Mount has been nothing but Jesus discipling, teaching his disciples. This crowd gathers, and they've been listening all this time on what Jesus is all about, what God is all about. You know, I've got it down in my notes. You know, let me back up for a second. You know, both of these stories tell of two men who have heard about Jesus. I think you're right. I think that's the whole point, right? Isn't this in context of Jesus is on the mount and he's discipling his men here, but he's also putting out the word to the crowd. Remember, like you, the glory you said. Remember, his disciples, the crowd gathered, but the main point of Jesus was to take the disciples up there. It really was. He took his disciples there and started teaching them. However, there was a multitude who were listening and watching, which is unbelievable. I think can you close that door for me? Thank you, sir.
I thought he waited until there was a multitude so that way.
No, they just followed him up there. As far as I understand, he went up in the mount. Him and his disciples went up there. And there was a group, and his disciples came and sit, and he taught. He was teaching the disciples. This particular passage here probably could go both ways. Like I said, I've heard it both ways. And I wouldn't want to nitpick it to death either, Bob. I'm not. But it is interesting here. Because I think this is the last thing that he says. This is the last story that Jesus tells these folks, his disciples, and the crowd on the mountain. Would you agree with that? This is it. This is it. This sums it up. This is the end. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine, he's been telling them all these things. We've been going over this for 12 weeks ourselves. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus. That's right. And later on, he'll be preaching that. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, everything from the Beatitudes from chapter 7, chapter 5, 6, and 7, everything that's been taught, think about it. Go back in your mind and think about what's been taught. Remember, blessed are the merciful. Everything that he has been taught, that he's been teaching, they've been taught, is this. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So both these stories tell of people who heard. I believe this anyway. People who heard about the Lord. Just like the disciples were sitting there at his feet, and there was a multitude around him hearing the same thing. But here's the thing. But both don't practice what he taught, right? 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Think about everything that we've been going through. Everything. What's the first thing that comes to your mind with the Sermon on the Mount, Don? First thing. The what? How to pray. Gloria? First thing you think of. Quick. Okay. John? Okay. So we can go around the room and do this. Mike?
The condition of the heart versus the outward action.
Joe? Okay. Justin? Amy? The first thing. Who are the saved? Okay. Bob? Okay. Bianca? Okay. Okay. So, you know, everybody has their little favorite thing or the first thing that hits their mind. But they all heard it. But they all didn't practice it. And this is the last thing that Jesus is going to leave. He's done. He's done with them now. He's done with his disciples on the mountain. And all this crowd, he's about to take off. And one of the commentators, I'll read it to you because I really liked what he said here. This is France. If they didn't practice in what they heard, and I think this person is a hearer of the word. I do. I think this guy, this person, this people, it doesn't have to be a guy, but this example that Jesus is saying, he's a person that he built. He built his little world of Jesus, built his little world on earth on sand. And it was a spurious or superficial discipleship, and it doesn't stand in God's judgment, does it? It won't stand. It will not stand. Jesus is saying, the Son of God is saying, you know, when this big storm comes, you'll stand because you're on the rock. You're not going to stand because you're on the sand, and it will not stand. And I'm telling you, what a great fall it was. This is Jesus talking. And when Jesus says something like, and what a great fall, and so great a fall it was, that's a serious offense. You know, the rock, you're only going to stand with a God-given foundation, right? Would anybody disagree with that? It's a God-given foundation. And if you're not a doer of the word, this is what Jesus is leaving with him right now. If you're not a doer of the word, then this great fall is a serious, serious thing. And I think he's talking about hell, wouldn't you? Is he talking about hell? Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've heard this taught both ways, okay? But I'm thinking it's probably hell. Yeah, Bob.
So it brings you to wonder when you read John 3:16, whoever believes, what is the true context of belief? That's the difference of salvation.
Right.
What is believe, for me personally, believe means you believe Jesus, you believe what he says, you do what he says. That, right. That to me is the context of belief. Some people just say, you know, I say the sinner's prayer, now I'm going to heaven.
Right.
I don't know if I believe that.
Right.
I think believe is a verb.
Right, action. You bet. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I was saying, Bob, you know, a lot of this has to do at times with your understanding of salvation or your understanding of soteriology or your theology. Sometimes it does have something to do with it. But this is what I do know. This is what I do know. If you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you follow him, And his disciples were, and this big crowd heard all this. And he says that if you don't take me serious, remember I kept saying this. This isn't Hebrew school anymore. Yeah, forget about Hebrew school. Forget about what you've learned before. This is what I'm telling you. And you need to do what I'm asking you to do. If you want to follow me, I've already gone through Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Of course, for us it's that. For them it was just a sermon, a long sermon. If you receive me, you'll do well. If you say you receive me, but you don't practice these things, then you're like an unbeliever. You can't say you follow me and do what you're going to do. Just do what you want to do. You've got to acknowledge me and serve me. Forget about Hebrew school. Follow me. This is again, remember, this is the new king. I'm the new king. I'm the Messiah. Follow me. Because if you don't, if you're not a doer of the word, you're gonna have a great fall, and it's a serious, serious offense. And it was so when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished and amazed at his teaching. Wow. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes or the Jewish leaders. You read it one more time. And so it was. This is Matthew writing this down, right? And so it was, Matthew writes, when Jesus had ended these sayings, these teachings, that the people were astonished. They were amazed at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Not as the people that they were in contact with on a daily basis, reading them the law, but one having authority. You know, at this point, this whole collective teaching on discipleship is pretty much ended, right? This is it. And of all chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, you know, guys, we've been through this whole thing. We've actually read and studied and discussed and debated at times what Jesus meant over the last three chapters as he left and went up in this mountain and his disciples followed him and this big crowd followed him. He taught them the things of God, and he taught with authority, and the Holy Spirit was with him. And it was probably a beautiful thing. I get chills when I even say this. It's probably amazing. They were astonished. Who in the world is this? Who is he that speaks with this kind of authority? Not like those guys, but this is new. This is fresh. And, you know, and that secondary crowd, not his disciples, but the secondary crowd was amazed, perhaps not so much as what he had taught. Listen to this just for a second here. And I'm reading this from my notes here, because I thought it was good to remember for me and for you. The collective teaching on discipleship is ended. And the secondary crowd, the big crowd, not his disciples, but the big crowd, was amazed, perhaps not so much as what he had taught, but that they recognized that he had the authority to teach. Now, let's just think about that for a little bit. He taught these great spiritual lessons, but everybody recognized that he had the authority to do that. It's not like, well, who's this guy? Or where does he get the authority? They just knew They knew that God was with him. Wouldn't you agree with that? Because they were amazed. They were astonished. You ever been astonished at God's word? I have. You ever gotten that ghosted feeling when God speaks to you? Like this morning when I turned the radio on and some preacher I don't even like that much says something and I go, "Whoa! Lord, that was for me." Really? And I don't even like it. No, it wasn't. No.
I gotta give you a hard time about
it. No, I know, that's okay. I'll get over it. I gotta love him. But that's when I know God's speaking to me with authority. Because you know, you can listen to anything you want to, but if it's not with authority, if I'm up here going, and you know, so everyone who hears these words of mine acts upon them, well, you know, that's not. I'm speaking with authority because I believe I have the authority to read this to you, and so do you. You have the authority to read the Word of God and to receive, because it's not some superficial thing, right? This is dynamic. This is spiritual, and that's what I love about this. And that's what. Let me read it one more time. The secondary crowd was amazed, perhaps not so much as what he had taught, but that they recognized that he had the authority to teach. That's huge. You should remember that. I need to remember that. Because Jesus continually said, all through the scripture, we've been kind of kidding around this. I love this part. You have heard, remember? You have heard, or you've been taught, but I say. Now, you either accept that, or you don't. I know what you've heard. I know what the scribes have been teaching you. I know what the Pharisees have been. I know what Hebrew school taught you. But this is what I say. Now, this may be real personal to me because, you know, I believe what Charles Taz Russell taught in the Russellites, the Jehovah's Witnesses. But he didn't speak with authority. I never heard him, but I'm saying he didn't write with authority. But I have the authority by the power of the Holy Spirit when I read the Word of God. It changed everything. I was blind. I didn't know what it was. But then the Lord opened my eyes and my ears. He had the authority to do that. And I had the willingness to say, wow, I see the Word a totally different way. Don't you think that that's maybe what they were doing too? They had been through school. They'd been taught the law. But here is this man, this man from Bethlehem, from Nazareth, who a lot of Jews didn't even like him. And he's speaking with authority, and they're blown away. I mean, I don't know what to say about this. Can you put yourself there for a moment and just realize the authority he had? And the joy that the disciples had, probably just shaking their heads, man, I'm telling you, I can't go back to the Jewish law. This man is, I'm going to follow him. I may lose everything I have. But there's nothing, I'm compelled in the Spirit to follow Jesus. I'm sticking with him. You guys can go if you like. He's got the words of life. And that's a pretty cool thing. Amen? Yeah. Exactly, John. Right. Exactly. Yeah. In fact, that's exactly right. I just wrote down total spiritual. This is totally spiritual. The people recognized the anointing on Jesus. The anointing was on Jesus. And let me tell you something. The anointing's on you folks. The anointing's on us to preach the word and to minister to all nations. That's what Jesus told us to do. And some followed him here and some didn't. But I'm following him, and you're following him. Because he speaks with authority. We know that Jesus is our authority. Not like Hebrew school. Listen to this. Hebrew school versus the Son of God. Which one are you going to choose? Absolutely. Because he's got the anointing. And you know, people don't just, with all this culture they had, all this culture in their Jewish ways and Jewish traditions, this oppressed people with the Romans, they're a stiff-necked people. You just don't come and say, hey, you want to be a Christian? Or, hey, why don't you follow this guy? They're not that kind of people. They aren't. I've known a lot of Jewish people. They're pretty stubborn people. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. I was thinking the same thing. But even them, when they recognize the anointing, they're going to follow. And at some point, we all recognize the anointing of Jesus, and we followed him. That's the truth. Amen? So, I do. I love to. Please do. Wow. How do we, with all this teaching we've been through, 5, 6, and 7, all this teaching, how do we know, or can, and I think we can though, I don't know, I think Bob kind of brought it up, or is it for us to know that who's built on the rock and who's built on sand? Is that up to us to point that out at any point in our lives? No?
Not to other people, but for myself, like, I want to make sure that I go on the rock.
Yeah.
So I would do my best to put it before I practice.
Okay. Hold that thought. Let me read out of the Amplified. Because Jesus has said a lot, hasn't he? He's gone through just about all your life right now. 5, 6, and 7. He's gone through everything. How do you treat people? Your wives? How you think? What you... Your angst about life? What clothes you're going to wear? How to pray? This is how you pray. He has gone through just about everything with these folks. He's gone through everything with us this last couple months here, okay? So what are we going to do with this? That's my question. What are we going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man or woman who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man or woman who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed and bewildered wonder at his teaching. For he was teaching as one who had and was authority, and not as did the scribes. And then one last one here, the living. All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floods rise and the storm winds beat against this house, it won't collapse, for it is built on rock. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on sand. For when the rains and the flood come and the storm winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. The crowds were amazed at Jesus' sermons, for he had taught as one who had great authority and not as their Jewish leaders. So, Gloria, we pretty much finished. What was that? Pretty much finished this. Chapter 8's next. We're not going to go there, but Jesus starts healing people. So, what is the Sermon on the Mount for you, my friend? Amen. It's great. Don?
I think for me, like I've read it many times too, but I think for me it's really helped me like really wrap my head around like what it looks like to not just live the way Jesus wants me to and desires me to, and to raise my son up in the Lord, but like visually, like what does it look like to be an example to others? Like, I mean, for me, it's
good.
It is a lot about ministry because I'm, you know, you're a pastor, you know, I mean, you are good under the microscope, and so.
That's good. Bob?
Yeah, this is it's been a great class. It's been a good book in the end. And it's nice to hear everybody going along, and it's nice to hear some of the people in the same class wanting that same direction. going on other paths in your life, they all have something in common. We all want this direction. So this has been really cool looking at all of you speak, and I enjoy everybody. So.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just
it's been good, huh?
Blast looking in the mirror.
Yeah. Justin?
This just reminds me that it's impossible to do. It's like, well, must have the strength to do it again, and then, oh, no, it couldn't make it. Must have again, no, it couldn't make it. You know, and like Paul said, none of us are sufficient to do something. For me, the beatitude is going with just really. Sowing those things in my heart. I had this older brother who was in his 80s, brother in the Lord, who always tell me, Jay, you know, we're not to be judging who's a Christian, who's not, but we can be fruit that is. And when we're going through the Beatitude Fast, like David remarks, you know, this is the fruit that should be produced through your life. This is the fruit that we see God merciful. So, really, that's kind of the meat for me this semester, is those beatitudes. And really kind of soaking in that section. Because it's easy to get tired.
Yeah.
You know, trying to really manage that.
That's good. You know, it's almost like the Beatitudes themselves, that, you know, those 12 verses or so, is kind of the foundation. So, listen, I want you to act like this, and this is how I want you to go through your life like this. This is the foundation. It's peacemakers. Merciful. And that's the foundation of it. Now let me, now we have the found. This is my foundation. This is how I want you to lead your life as you follow me. And that's pretty good. I like that thought. Mike?
Several times, like some of the people said, but you know, the way that we went through it this time, like reading over and over again and getting like the input from other people just gave me like a whole new understanding of it. And I like how we ended, or like how it ends on today, like how, you know, putting these words into practice, you know, and like Justin said, like you do what you believe. And the connection between that, I think that's like a good way. And because it's very convicting, it's very. I realize I can't like live up to this all the time, but you know, at the same time, I really do believe that it's true, and I do believe my best to put it in practice. So yeah. It's like changing my character.
Mm-hmm. Joe. Good, Joe. Amy?
As I was learning, you know, about each one of these lessons,
one pointer and just like, wow, really? And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I am saved, you know? I mean, I know, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, and overall, I just think it's just been, you know, strive to serve and follow God and be stronger.
Bianca? No, I think John hasn't gone. I'm saving John for last.
Okay, well, this kind of really spoke to me. The lesson that really spoke to me was to not judge. Because, like you taught us in the last couple of classes, you cannot judge people who don't believe in Christ. Well, like, for me, I have been Christian for 9.5 years. My mom and my dad. That's when I became a Christian. But to me, it really spoke to me because even though God, even though we've done sins to each other or to people that we love, God is giving us that love to forgive each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that love to give to those who don't love us. So that's what really spoke to me.
Okay. Great. That's nice. All right, John, you get the last word.
I think it's longer theology.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I think I understand. So don't take offense to what I'm about to say. You know, don't take offense to this. But you're telling me you can't do this, Justin. You said you couldn't do it. Bob, kinda. A lot of you say we really can't do this. I mean, it's just this is kind of pie in the sky. In some ways, that's what you're saying to me. But I say this. Because Jesus says this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine see it again. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So don't tell me you can't do it, because Jesus is saying you can do it. Now, I understand that we fail at it. I get it. Believe me, I'm the biggest one. But we all have to have confidence that if you build on the rock, and Bob, you have. You're a Christian. I've talked to you. I recognize you as one who's built on the rock. And Justin, and most of you here. I mean, I know you pretty well in the last 10 weeks or whatever it's been. You are on the rock. If you're not, you need to raise your hand and we'll pray for you to get on the rock. Because you can do this, because Jesus said you could. Let's read it again. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings, and you've already heard them, you already read this way, way before you came to this class. I've read it a dozen times, and we just read it another half a dozen times. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So you can do it. It's not impossible if you're built on the rock. And when you fall down, he picks you back up. And it's not like you can't do it. You're just a little weak and you're a little weird. And we're all a little bit handicapped because of the fall. But you do have the ability to do it. You have the ability because you're born again. The Spirit is with you. And, you know, every one of us makes choices every day. I told you I have an anger problem. I have to make a choice every day not to be angry. You know how? And I do it. You know why I do it? Because I'm built on the rock. I am a born-again believer. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm telling you this because I'm really believing it's very important, especially... Okay, just especially these days, that you got to have the confidence and assurance in God that you're not going to go off in left field. You're not going to go off into, you know, some aberrant theology like we were talking about. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it because I'm built on the rock. Is that an arrogant saying? No, but Jesus has told me, if you hear these sayings and you do them, I'm going to consider you a wise man, Will. Isn't that what he's saying? Tell me if he's not saying that. Isn't that what he's saying? Whoa. But see, what's the but about? What's the but about, John? He's already saying that. We get it. It's the rock. I get it. It's not about me. I get that. Because if you do my sayings, if you do what I tell you to do, you're built on the rock. You're the rock is here. I'm you. I'm with you. Come to me. Come to me and do what I told you to do. Do what I said to do. Don't judge. Don't do those things that I hate. Don't do those. Here's how to pray. Just follow me here and you'll be a wise person. Because I'm going to give you this confidence to be a wise person, and that's what you need to do. And I think, you know, John, I know what you're saying. I get it. I'm saying this on purpose just to kind of get a little rise out of you, because I know it will. But don't you think we should have the confidence in Jesus to do these things he's called us to do? Of course. Absolutely. Mike, do you want to be a wise man? Gloria, you want to be a wise woman? Bianca, you want to be a wise woman? Who doesn't want to be wise here? Who doesn't want to be wise? Anybody? Amy, you want to be wise?
Yeah,
then here's what you do. John?
I don't want to be a wise guy.
Too late, John. Too late.
I'd rather be a princess.
No, you'd rather be wise. Bianca, you want to be a wise, godly woman. That's what you want to be. And Jesus is telling us right now, and we're going to close with this. If you do these things that he's told us on this Sermon on the Mount, with his disciples there and this great, if you do these things, you'll be considered wise. And who doesn't want Jesus to consider you wise? I mean, I do. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, am I wise because I'm following you? Yeah, well, you're wise. You're following. It's not an ego thing, but it is. I'm really believing you need to have the confidence and assurance in Jesus, not anything else, not yourself, for sure. You know, let's not have that dog chasing his tail. I have confidence in Jesus that he's my rock. And when I do these things, when I practice these things that he told us, we can be wise followers of him. That's the thing. That's the key. Because if you're not, you're going to get swept away. And it is a horrible, horrible thing to fall down in the sand and to have your whole life crushed before you. Because it's a great fall. It's a huge fall. And there's no recovery. There's no recovery. You're gone. But if you're on the rock, you'll live. That's the truth. Amen? That's the truth. All right. We're going to close because I'm done. And it's just a short, we'll just keep on talking, which is okay. Next week, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. Things aren't exactly working like I thought it was going to work. But I've got this... we can go over 5, 6, and 7 and just hit the highlights of it. And I think that's probably a good idea. But I also have, maybe the last class, but I also have, I might change it though. I also have this, it's on Netflix. It's a movie. Mike, it's a good movie. I'm not going to tell you. But it's a surprise. And I think it will, it's a Christian guy. And it's kind of a comedy thing, but it really, really gets serious about Jesus. And I think I want you guys to see it. Has anybody been in my class before where I showed that movie? I don't think so.
We saw a movie.
Can't tell you. It's just a guy. It's a guy on a stage. It's an older guy on a stage, and he goes through this little shtick. You didn't see? Okay, I showed it to one class. I'm not telling you. You're not going to get it out of me either. So I'm just thinking.
Can I bring popcorn?
Well, I was thinking about, you can bring whatever you want, but let me think about that. It's good. You'll enjoy. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. It's a kickback. You'll laugh. I guarantee you'll have a great time. And I just think it might be kind of fun.
This is next
week? Yeah, next week or the last class, one or the other. And I got to get the fun. What?
I'll bring some soda. Pastor Roe, are we having a final?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Is that going to be a take-home?
I'll have it on Papali, and I'll have it. You can take it home, too. You can do whatever you want. I'm learning on Papali. Who can't get on Papali? Anybody? Anybody that can't get on Papali, that just or refuses to get on Papali? You refuse to? Well, I'll give you one. What's that? Okay, no, I will. Yeah, it's fine.
Can I make a comment about Popular?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage everybody to use it. I know I don't use it to a full extent, but it's very expensive for the Bible College to have it, and they have it, and they pay for it for us, and I believe that that's part of the reason why every semester we pay a $50
administrative fee.
Okay.
Good for you, Don. Give him a pep talk.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about what do you think about the movie next week? I'll bring it. I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring in. See, next week, yeah, it's payday. I can bring in. I'll bring in some pizza. Let's watch the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I tell you, it's not a waste of time. It'll be very encouraging to you. It really will be, and I think I need that. I think you all need that. You know, it's not a Bible study, but you guys have been great students as far as I'm concerned. So let's watch that movie next week. That's what we're going to do. Don't miss it either. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. And then the last class, I will go over. I might have a couple guys up here. I'm not sure how that's going to work out yet. That evening class, during the day, I pretty much can do what I want, you know, with things. But during the evening, I got a hard time getting some of these guys to come out late at night. I mean, you guys have been working all day, so you know, everybody's been working. They didn't want to come back, so maybe we'll just forget about those folks. But next week, we're doing pizza. Next week, we'll put it up here. Oh, no, you guys can bring up the outdoor movie screen. I'm just kidding you. Wow. Bob. Bob, you can't. That's great. We could do that. No, this is good. We used this before. It's good. Okay? I know. Believe me, I know. You guys are amazing. It was awesome, man. All of it was great. I'm telling you. It was out of the park. Yeah, it's all over the internet, I guess. I don't have Facebook or In Your Facebook or whatever it's called, but I don't have anything. But people are telling me it's gone viral.
I saw you and your wife on Palm Sunday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh.
I was going right around you, and then I was in front of you.
You didn't say hi?
You're on the phone.
Oh. All right.
You're in your suit and your tie.
It was?
Yeah. Mm.
We don't do that anymore. All right, let's pray, and then let's head on home. And next week, we'll have pizza. Yeah, if you want to bring something else, you guys can bring. I know some people can't eat pizza or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. We got a prayer request here. Who passed away?
My grandma.
Your grandma.
My dad's mom. I saw my dad.
Were you close to her?
No.
No, not really. What's your daughter's name?
Bethany Jasmine.
Bethany Jasmine. Come on, let's surround our sister
here.
Oh, my
God.
Come on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.